Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Weekly Podcast, some of the best bits from this week's shows. Now, of course, the week was dominated by one major event. And considering you're a Chelsea fan.
I've forgotten it already.
Yeah, considering. I don't mean the FA Cup, I mean the Royal Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you did very much focus on the Royal Wedding, Andy. You talked more about that this week than the FA Cup.
I actually preferred the Royal Wedding to the Cup Finals.
Yes.
But there you go.
So you'll get Andy's thoughts and mine as well on the Royal Wedding. I bet you can't wait. And indeed, the FA Cup, slightly more bitter and twisted, as you can imagine, even though he won.
That's right.
180 cows invaded a football pitch in Guernsey.
Yes, so we did something on it, didn't we?
We did. We spoke to somebody. We got an eyewitness report. I put a reportage.
Yeah.
Martin Kellner last Friday was as good as he always is with the weakest sport on TV.
Form, yeah.
We had a bona fide star come into the studio.
Yes.
James Bay.
Yeah.
Singer and Newcastle fan.
Yeah, football fan. A very nice guy.
Lovely fella.
Hmm.
So that's just a flavour of some of the stuff you're going to hear.
Flavour.
And afterwards, got a little bit of added value for you. Fred Truman, F.S. Truman, the legend, made a song called It Simply Isn't Cricket.
Yeah, it's marvellous.
And we like it. So we're going to bring it to you.
Yeah, we might even sing along with it.
We could do, yeah. Join in the chorus yourselves. But anyway, listen to this first.
It's important for clubs to win trophies. Of course it is. But, you know, having sort of had a go at Arsenal for the last few years of sort of going over celebrating the FA Cup after not doing particularly well in the league, it's hard, you know, being hypocritical.
Let me ask you the question that always gets asked. What would you have rather done? Finished in the top four in the Champions League or won the FA Cup?
Top four.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Keeps players, attracts players. The Champions League is much better than the Europa League. The Europa League messes you up. And also, there's a way of winning the cup final. You know, it was a joyless experience. Mm. You know, I know some fans, of course, you're pleased you've won and you celebrate that. But as you're sitting there watching this, you're just thinking, and we weren't the only ones. I mean, there were a lot of fans around us going, what is this? You know, what are these tactics? You know, change it, do something. Do something. Yeah. I mean, no, I've never known a manager sit on his hands like this guy. And, you know, people have had a go at Willian and said, oh, he should never have done that.
Well, you should point out what he's done. If you've missed it,
he can't have missed it.
Well, he sent out a picture of everybody celebrating, but over the manager, he's put three FA Cups stacked on top of each other. So he's basically cut him out of the picture.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I absolutely don't blame him. He's been treated appallingly by the manager. He's 1 minute in the cup final. It's an insult. This is a bloke that's, you know, in the Brazil team that's probably going to win the World Cup. You know, he's a very, very good player. And I think he's been treated appallingly by the manager. And I don't blame him for not being particularly excited. Yeah, I saw Michael Gove and his boy at half time sitting in the normal seats. I was quite surprised.
Is he a Chelsea fan?
Yeah, he must be, yeah.
Right, okay.
Sitting with a Hoipoloi like
in the normal seats.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought he might be in the posh bits.
Oh, yeah, you would have thought so.
I was quite tempted to go up to him and sort of let him have it, but I decided I better not.
Okay, and it would be wrong on cup final day,
would be
it?
Really, yeah. Absolutely. And for Conte to say, though, he said one of the reasons why we didn't finish in the top four this year is because we've been far too open.
Mm.
You know, we were really open against City in both games. Tremendous. Leicester home. Why so open? I mean, I've not heard from Conte one thing where he said, I got things wrong. I made a mistake. Mm. And people tell me that he did celebrate with the players. I couldn't see it. Personally, I couldn't see him. I saw him celebrating with the staff.
Yeah.
But I didn't see him celebrating with the players. I don't know. It's clear there's a, you know, there's a definite, you know, fallout between him and the players. You could tell by Cahill's interview afterwards. You could tell by Hazard's interview afterwards. They're not enjoying playing like this. Who wants to play football? You know, it's not about entertainment. Football isn't, you know, that's the wrong word. It's not, you know, it's not showbiz. But it should be joyful. It should be something that, you know, players play with us, you know, that feel that they love playing. Yeah. This is a great privilege to play this game.
Well, it's unlikely.
And I just didn't think that was a joyful, it's not been a joyful season, and that wasn't a joyful experience on Saturday.
He's not going to get sacked because the man that needs to sack him, of course, can't get into the country. So Conte must have a mate in the visa office. That's all you can think.
I mean, I was thinking, I wonder if it is like a Spurs fan or an Arsenal fan at the visa office.
Well, they think you'd bring it down to...
Well, I'd like to check. I'd like it to be known that the person isn't a football fan who's causing this.
Oh, right.
But in the end, I can't see really that, you know, well, look, it's a very political thing and maybe they won't give him a visa, but, you know, he's planning to build this stadium. It's going to provide work for a lot of people.
I think it's an oversight, Andy. I wouldn't worry too much about it. I'd be more worried about Conte saying this. The real situation of this club is that we have to play strong defensively if you want to win a trophy or get in the Champions League. So if he does stay, it may be more of the same next year.
It would be, because that's what he believes in. Yeah. He said, I can't change my ideas of football. Mm. You know, you just left with the feeling that here it's Mourinho and Conte. They're like dinosaurs in the way that, you know, Klopp, Pep, Poch and various other people around Europe are playing football and approaching football. This old counter-attack, very solid blocks, be defensive. First goal's everything. If you get it, you probably win the game. If you don't, you won't win the game. And, you know, all right, that works. It works for a long time. It's worked for Mourinho for his career. It's worked for Conte for his career. But my contention is I think football's moved on. Mm. And, you know, it's not great to watch.
So. It was worrying watching Rashford. We'll talk about this with Paul. Yeah. He looks like a broken man, doesn't he? And which is not great.
I mean,
really.
I thought, I thought United in the first half.
No, they were terrible.
They were pathetic.
Yeah.
The ball movement is so slow. You know, it is really poor. But, you know, I cannot criticise a team like Huddersfield when my own team's game plan was basically the same.
Mm.
You know, what was the difference between the way Huddersfield played at Chelsea at the Bridge at the end of the season and the way we played on Saturday?
Yeah.
Really?
Got the goal and defended.
That's it. You know, the only difference is we kept them. We did actually win the game.
Yeah.
And they defended well, to be fair, to Rudiger, Cahill and Aspilicueta, who again showed how good they were as a three. They'd won 5 games in a row and then he decided to change it.
Mm.
So I've not heard any time of him saying, I shouldn't have changed that back three against Huddersfield. That was a big mistake. You know, according to this guy, he's made no mistakes all season. It's all down to the players, all down to the club not backing him. Well, come on. You know, that is just not true. Plainly not true.
So, you're going to have a big night? You go to the party afterwards with the players?
No, I didn't.
Never bothered?
No.
I
didn't go for the dinner.
Oh, what a great show.
No, I think I watched the full Motti, which was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Actually, I came home and watched a lot of the game, you know, watched a lot of the highlights to have a look at it.
You certainly watched a lot of the Royal Wedding.
I did.
Because, you've made extensive notes. So we'll bring those to you a little bit later on.
I also played Royal Wedding Bingo.
Very
excited. I got Arthur Edwards saying Princess Diana would have been so proud. And he, in fact, did say that. So, you know, I'm quite happy.
You didn't have a little punt on it with Paddy, no?
No.
Oh, what a great shame.
And but it was, wasn't it? Wasn't it a lovely day? Wasn't it a lovely wedding?
Well, it was.
I think it was.
Yeah.
You know, people are very sort of cynical about it all, but I thought it was very nice.
Good. Well, okay. Well, we'll come back to that later on and tell us how nice you thought it was. Now, Daisy May Cooper, the writer and co-writer and co-star of This Country, she was a big piece in the papers, I think, the weekend, Saturday papers in the Times, talking about the experience and her kind of... And the outfit, she got one of the worst dressed from the Daily Mail, and she was really chuffed with that because her Swindon outfit.
But I thought it was rather nice.
But
actually,
it was a really nice piece, and she has some great stories. And one of them I thought might lead the listeners on to something, because it could be sporting or otherwise. She was talking about her dad, and she said, my dad is a total narcissist. He used to play Mr. Tambourine Man on his guitar and then tell his children he'd written it. I remember hearing it on the radio and saying someone stole my dad's song. So sometimes you should never believe your parents. And we were chatting yesterday. My missus reminded me that when she was about 5-6 years old, she was doing some work from school. And her dad said, "Oh, what are you doing there?" He said, "Oh, it's about Julius Caesar." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I know him. He drinks in... He drinks in the pub on the, but like you believe it, Julius Caesar drinks in the pub on. You're clearly thinking it's wrong, but if your dad tells you it's true, you believe it.
My mate told me his dad played for Portsmouth, but he was a hairdresser. It wasn't true.
Well, you can be a hairdresser and play for Portsmouth. Well, I know so. Quite a lot of hairdressers who play for Spurs over the years. And then he also said he was there during the Great Fire of London tour. But, you know, you believe your parents. You're a kid.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. Yeah.
So she goes into school and says, "Oh, yeah, my dad was at the Great Fire of London," and he knows Julius Caesar as well.
That's unfair.
So, yeah, I mean, great lies your parents told you. Within reason, let's not get too dark on this.
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from TalkSport.
It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Well, we talked about the FA Cup. There was another big event this weekend. It was the Royal Wedding. Andy was at the FA Cup. But before that, he sat down with his notebook and his pen to basically, as if he was watching a football match, to basically create and create notes on the Royal Wedding. So, Andy, what have you got?
Well, basically, they're just quotes. They're little things that happened during the morning's coverage.
Okay,
I was with ITV because...
Wow, that was bold.
Well, I decided to because our producer's sister, our assistant producer's sister, Bryony Gordon, who was a guest on the show recently, she was on with ITV, so I thought I'd stick
with
her.
So you stuck with her,
Yeah, but I think you've got the same level of, you know, sort of daftness from both. Well, you've got to talk.
Well, it's great.
I do have a sympathy for these people.
I'd had a guess that not as many people watched it on the Beeb, which means this is virgin territory for you, Andy.
But I'm sure it was the same sort of stuff. I mean, and basically, we saw a shot of a car and they're going, "Is she wearing a tiara? Can we see into the car? Can we get a glimpse of the neckline of the dress?" You're thinking, "We'll see it in about 5 minutes. Don't worry about it."
You that's know right. What I mean? Can you not wait 5 minutes?
Speculation on the dress is running riot. Not at our place, it wasn't.
Okay.
It might be Stella McCartney. It wasn't.
Okay.
I've then written...
thought it was Meghan Markle. Surely Stella McCartney's
for. They said, "The Queen has come from a hotel where she's been staying overnight." I thought, what, a Premier Inn? The Queen can't have been staying in a hotel. She lives in Windsor Castle.
Yeah.
She can't. It must be Meghan.
Travel Lodge.
I must have misheard that. As a historian, somebody was asked, "What are you making of the day?" And the answer was, I've then written, "Strong bladder required," which is true, really, because some people.
Oh, yes, a long day.
2 hours.
Especially like Tins and Will Greenwood and all these boys.
That's right,
They probably had a bit of a liquid breakfast.
You don't want to do that.
They would have just...
That would be a very...
Zara's saying, "Where's Mike?" And he's you know, there's five or six rugby players in the bar about 10:45.
You reckon?
So I reckon they would have found that difficult, really.
Everybody leaning towards their TVs now, trying to capture a glimpse of the dress.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not.
Well, I mean, you're sitting there watching it. Don't start being cynical now. You've gave 3 hours of your life to it.
No, that's what my wife said to me.
Yeah.
She said to me, "I can't believe you're doing this. I was looking forward to watching it."
Yeah,
with
you sucked all the joy out of it.
Yeah, but
her.
Then she said, I've got some notes from what she said. She said she didn't like Harry's hair. She said it was like an orange Brillo pad. That was her exact words.
So you're as bad as each other, you two.
I think lip readers enjoy the wedding the most. That's what you want to do. It's a bit like the sound of sport.
There was some good lip reading, wasn't there? I noticed that.
At one point they said, "Here's the Queen." It was Prince Charles. I thought, well, that's not great, really.
And one day.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamie wonders whether you did your impressions over the top of the wedding like Match of the Day.
No, I didn't.
So when Meghan and Harry were doing their vows...
Oh, you want to hear my...
You come in...
My preacher. It's fantastic.
No, I don't, Andy.
I'm not
really don't
do
want
that.
To hear that.
I'm not going to do that.
I was quite impressed...
I didn't do any of it.
I was quite impressed with the society party planner who put the evening together.
Oh, yeah.
He arranged it. He also arranged William and Kate's do and Pippa Middleton's wedding through his company. And his name is Alexander Seamus Fitzgibbons.
Really?
And I don't know if he's on the bins. I don't know if he does. If he's on the bins generally, and he just does a bit of party planning in his spare time. But I'm probably guessing
probably not. I'd say. And
what else?
They said remarkable pictures of the Queen. Yes, remarkable. A 93-year-old woman in a car. Wasn't that remarkable, really? Honestly.
This is not what I expected. You said, you were sitting here an hour ago, Sam. What a lovely day. Wasn't it a joyful day? And so you've sat there sneering at it now for 2 hours on ITV, have you?
It's a lovely combination of godchildren and friends of the bride when they saw the bride. what else could it have been? Complete strangers.
Yeah.
And then they said, there's a train. I thought, of course there is. It's a wedding dress. And then they said, what nerve. This is about Meghan Markle. What nerve to ascend those steps. What do you want to do? Crawl up them. I don't know what they wanted. It's fantastic. Prince Charles, George there, holding hands with, and then there was a connection. Sorry, I don't know.
That's always a good moment, isn't it?
It's fantastic, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, Johnny, rugby league man.
Oh, yeah, I do, really. Yeah.
We have to wait, okay? We have to wait. Hold that, because he was watching Magic Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
But he still found time to look at the wedding first. You know, Harry found that's marvellous. So, okay.
Oh, yeah, I did say one point to my wife. Can you stop pausing? It will be here till 5 o'clock. She kept pausing it to look at, like, the ex someone's dress or this one walking in.
Wow.
So, you know, so we did sort of delay the, you know, we
and were... you had to get to the cup final, didn't you?
Oh,
I bet you wish you hadn't bothered now. Anyway, it's Hawksby and Jacobs, more fallout from the wedding, a bit more football chat, of course, as well. More of your text emails on untruths you've been told by your parents. Thank you for all of those this afternoon. Rob says, my dad told me when I was about 4 that if you made a sandwich and cut it in half corner to corner rather than across the middle, you had less crusts on each piece. A few years later, I realised the truth. Even now, I still can't decide how to slice a sandwich. So you're damaged, Rob. That's what your dad did to you. Get him to apologise.
Listen to the Hawksby and Jacobs Show live every Monday to Friday afternoon from 1. Broadcasting across the UK on DAB Digital Radio, online at TalkSport.com or via the TalkSport app.
Good afternoon, it's Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport, and that music, of course, it's Baba Brooks, isn't it, Martin?
It certainly is. Baba Brooks Band and Girls Town, and he's sitting in Trinidad or Tobago at the moment, counting his royalties. Mm.
I'm sure he is, yeah, he must love
it.
The
only royalties he gets. I play it sometimes overnights on Talk Radio, so he gets a few bob.
It'd be nice
to
play
the hour version.
Lovely to think he's sitting there in Trinidad or Tobago, and a little check, so some of the post he winds up, and he thinks... Nice. Thank you very much, Martin. Thanks for looking out for me.
25p.
25p. So, what have you been watching in the world of sport on TV this week?
I saw an absolutely brilliant documentary. Again, I'm afraid it's 30 for 30, but I've got them. It's on a series link on BT, so I get it all the time.
You get them all, don't you?
I do. This one was called Fantastic Lies, and it was I don't know whether you're familiar with the case. It was a big case at the time. Duke University. They had this. You've seen it, have you? The lacrosse team had this party. They rented a house in the town, and they had a party which went a bit riotous, as these sort of frat party things do.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody claimed they hired an exotic dancer, and she claimed to have been sexually assaulted. Now, the DA, and this in American justice, it's always amazed me, and it seems such a bad system that these people have to run for office. So he's running for office as the DA, and he gets to try this case. And there's so many great conflicts in it, because there's race in it, and then there's the town gown thing, which is always interesting. I worked at Oxford for a while. I might have told you this before. When I was a Cub reporter, there wasn't a lot to report on in the Cubs, actually. So I did other stuff as well.
Boy gets another badge. Pitches at 11.
But when I was a young reporter, I was working for the Oxford Mail. And another story I may have told here was my dad always used, because I dropped out of university. Went to work for the Oxford Mail, and my dad always used to say to his pals, he said, I can't stay longer, my son's home from Oxford for the weekend. But always got great
marvellous
what Jewish people would call knackers from that. So it's a town versus gown, but it's more than that, because there's a racial element as well. It was a black girl, and he knows there's lots of black votes, the DA, so he tries the case and completely ignores all the... He was so keen to get the brownie points and get the votes by sending these three lacrosse players, and they're the poshest of the posh. Mm. Obviously, they're playing lacrosse.
Mm.
So he does anything in his power to get these people convicted. You've seen the documentary.
I saw another one about Duke. I thought you were going to talk about the one with Christian Leitner, which is another.
It's a different story.
Yeah, different ones. I haven't seen that one. So
sounds very good.
Well worth.
I was watching last night Doc and Daryl by Judd Apatow.
Love Judd Apatow.
That's the thing about these 30 for 30, you know this, Paul. But they are directed by people like Spike
Proper
Lee.
Yeah.
That was the whole idea, to give these top film directors a chance to sort of indulge their love of sports with these documentaries.
Precisely, and it's stuff they're passionate about. It was Marina Zenovich, who is quite a well-known documentary director, who directed this one, Fantastic Lies. But the lacrosse team were the absolute elite, you know, good-looking guys. They were the jocks and everything. So people could believe it. It's the sort of thing, and this got a bit riotous, and one of the exotic dancers that they'd hired for, I think, about $400, seemed a bit excessive to me, but that's beside the point.
You can get yours cheaper, do you?
If ever I want to hire... I sometimes hire an exotic dancer overnight on Talk Radio, just to keep me awake.
Yeah,
it helps. But anyway, they'd hired these couple of exotic dancers, and this guy was so convinced not even convinced they'd do it, but he convinced the town and all the journos. The journos got it all completely wrong, and that's another thing about America and in Britain to an extent these days. You know, in the old days, you would be so careful. When I first started as a reporter in the 1930s, you'd be so careful that you never named and never put details in the paper. Anyway, he ignored a lot of DNA evidence. These people, fortunately, were rich enough and powerful enough to get lawyers, so they all had lawyers. And one of these young lawyers was almost the hero, because he went through the DNA evidence and obviously discovered there was no DNA at all to connect them with these lacrosse players, and eventually they got off, and the good thing, they got off because they didn't do anything, and nothing happened at this party. Nothing happened apart from a lot of lacrosse players getting a little bit drunk and being a bit boisterous.
Wow. But it sounds very good. I was checking that. Just remind us what it's called.
It's called Fantastic Lies.
Fantastic Lies.
Which is a quote from one of the three who... They interview the parents of the people, and there's a little bit at the end, I won't tell you, but which tells you what happened to all the people. But
anybody watched Paterno yet? Which is a story... It's Joe Paterno. Barry Levinson's directed it. Al Pacino's playing Joe Paterno, who's the famous college football coach who... was dismissed because there was a sex abuse scandal. Mm. Penn State, that's right. But they've just made it with the film.
Papa Joe or something. He was a
Sky Atlantic at the moment with Al Pacino playing Joe Paterno.
Oh, right, so it's a new one.
It's a new one, it's available to watch at the moment on Sky Atlantic.
It's
a drama, but it does look very good. Yeah. Good cast. Yeah.
I have to say, I don't know, I do love documentaries these days. Mostly if I go to the cinema now, it's to go and see a documentary.
Yeah, really.
But the sports documentary genre, we've talked about this.
It's fantastic.
It's brilliant the way it's grown, and we've both seen the one that you haven't seen, which we loved, the rugby league one.
Yeah.
Water Splash. Yeah, I should have watched that.
Check that out. Very good.
I did say to Paul that there were three lead Super League players in Neighbours this week. Ryan Hall, Callum Watkins and Stevie Ward made a little cameo appearance.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, any particular reason?
Well, a few months ago when they were probably over. Were they over there for the game?
Yes.
Did Leeds go over there?
It was the World Club thing.
Yeah, the World Club Challenge thing.
Leeds played, Wigan played, and I think Hull played as
so they were probably there. They thought, we'll just pop up in Neighbours. That's Andy's dream when he goes over. It'd be standing there in Lasseter's, staring into the camera.
You know, the old when we used to watch the FA Cup in the old days, it was always how they got there.
Yeah.
And it'd be a very quick whirl through all the goals. There was quite a good How They Got Their show on the BBC the other night, which was really nice. And they had the fans from... They took the whole story of the cup, if you like, starting from the first round right the way through. And they had the fans. So they had they had various little groups of fans from each team, each round that they spotlighted. Mm. And I thought it was interesting, the Chelsea fans were three ladies who lunch. And the Chelsea fans, they had those... What do you call those things that you put afternoon tea on, the sandwiches on one
line? Oh, yeah, I know. There's a name for it. That's a very good point.
It's cropped up in crosswords from time to time.
Not crossroads.
Okay.
not cropped up in crossroads.
Okay.
Tarby's Star Bar, do you remember that? I mean, FA Cup final day used to be, young people won't remember this, but it used to be like Super Bowl. It was a big day. I'd invite people over. We'd have a big barbecue. We'd watch the whole day, how they got there,
and when you
on
were a
the
kid,
coach.
And did you used to play it in the street when you were a kid, play the cup final before?
Yes, we did play before and after. When you were
but I wonder if it'll be, because of the Royal Wedding, whether people will make a day of it. And then, I think if the cup final, imagine the state people will be in. If they've
final,
got there at half 11,
wrestling,
if they've had their first beer or glass of wine at half 11, by the end of the football match, old Nan will be face down in the flower bed, won't she, if you have a barbecue?
Absolutely. I think it will work well for the cup final. Mm. You know, at 5:15 on a Saturday, usually you'd say, well, you know, especially if the weather's nice, you'd think, well, I might watch, I might not watch. You're there, presumably.
We are going, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I said to Paul, my son said to me, I was like, what time were you meeting? He went, oh, blimey, I forgot we were in the final. Was on. Now, that's how it's got now. Yeah. It isn't the same thing anymore. You can kid yourself that people will say, oh, it's a trophy, it's this, that and the other, but it's not the same. It just isn't.
But it's not been the same for a number of years.
No.
But anyway, it was a nice little documentary. Except the thing about the BBC now, when you talk about the FA Cup, because they make it this sort of folksy thing, ever since the BBC sort of got it back, and they believe you've got to have poems. You've got to have a poem.
Got
to have a northern poet, possibly with a beard and a duffel coat,
doing
a poem.
Or Eddie Butler reading it.
Poem. So we got all the rhyme. It was a good show, I have to say, but we got all the rhyming couplets. Every glory has its story. And I thought, blimey, I could write that. So I wonder if they know that Markle rhymes with sparkle, because they could do that as well.
Does it rhyme with anything else?
No.
Okay, that's basically it. That's all it rhymes with. So have you... Have you spotted anything else, Martin?
Oh, all sorts of stuff this week. I don't know whether you're familiar with the Crankworks.
No.
Crankworks. It sounds like a restaurant in Shoreditch.
Yeah, it does. It does a bit, yeah.
But it's not. It was on, you know me, I love the 422 Free Sports channel.
Oh, yeah.
Who are still running Transworld Sport.
That's a great show.
I tell you what they don't do. They don't do the sports news that they used to, which was all out of date. I think we were talking about that last week. But Crankworks is cycling on a motocross course.
Right.
So it's sort of like extreme cycling. So the cycle race is almost like, you know, the old motorbike motocross that used to be on the tape.
Dave Bickers.
That sort of thing. But they have one of these from New Zealand, from the lovely town of Rotorua. Have you been to Rotorua?
No, I've never been to New Zealand.
I've
never been to New Zealand either.
So we all said it like we, oh yeah, many great nights in a place I've never been to.
It's in the Bay of Plenty region, North Island. Very, very nice.
Producer's been there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Obviously. I'm trying to...
Part Kiwi.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to crawl around the Australians and the New Zealanders, because they're some of the few people who are around at 1 o'clock in the morning.
So when you're on your tour, that's the breakfast show for them, is it? Or that the other way around?
That is the... No,
lunch. Lunchtime show.
Lunchtime show.
It's sort of mid-morning lunchtime show. It's
huge in Rotorua. Oh,
they love you in Rotorua.
On a mid-morning basis.
Absolutely.
They've got a statue of you.
Yeah. But it's... what they do is, at the end of it, rather like the jungle, they crown the Queen of Crankworks. It just seems odd, the Queen of Crankworks and the King of Crankworks. Yeah. So you have a king and a queen.
That's lovely, isn't it? Yeah. It's so fitting with a royal wedding tomorrow that you brought it to. Now, I think we've run out of time,
Martin.
Again?
I know,
save it for tonight.
You've got time, This is extra material for your show overnight on Talk Radio on DAB.
1 a.m.
1 a.m.
Yeah.
I've
got a podcast as well.
You have got a podcast, which you do with your daughter.
Yes, it's called Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
Yeah. And people can download it, can't they?
They can download it.
It's very good. I think it's great.
Yeah, well, I'm rather pleased with it as well. She's getting more feisty as we, she has a go at me on a regular basis.
Has it affected your relationship off air?
Off air, we have no relationship. It's just on air, but we were discussing whether I was a gammon or not. Have you heard all this gammon stuff?
Oh, yeah, the gammon stuff.
And she says I'm pretty bit of a gammon.
You're too Jewish to be gammon.
Well, I'm salt beef.
Actually, somebody who's actually been to Rotorua says it stinks.
Really?
Thanks to the sulphur springs. It smells like rotten eggs, says Macca, who was there doing the All Blacks.
That's our Macca.
Lions tour. Of course it is. I know it is. I know it's our Macca.
Someone, you said.
No, well, like someone who's been there,
Been there,
someone.
And of course, Uranus smells of sulphur. Did you know Uranus smells of sulphur?
What are we, five? I'm not going to say yours doesn't give you the satisfaction. Thank you, Martin. We'll see you next
week. You're very welcome.
Martin Cummins there with a week of sport on TV.
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Andy Goldstein is back with a sports bar with Jason tonight at 10. Was listening there to you go through the royal wedding, and he said maybe you should have got a royalist to give his notes on the cup final. Probably be the same as Andy's on the wedding.
No, slightly I love
sneery
the royal
and cynical,
fan.
You know.
No, I love it. I mean, we both love it, but you know, I'm just talking about how we reacted when we saw it.
I mean, there was a lot. I mean, they had to fill a lot of hours.
Well, of course they did. I did preface my comments with that.
Yeah. I mean, at least kind of ITV and the BBC kind of went off air after 3 hours. I mean, Sky had to keep going. Imagine you're on Sky, you're having to string that out for 24/7. I mean, it was really
quite difficult. I loved the choir singing Stand By Me. I thought there were some really terrific things. I thought the Queen looked more miserable than Victoria Beckham at times, which is not great, really.
Yeah. And Lord Vesty was there. That was the great news.
Was he? Did he have his own box?
He didn't have his own box, but also the spectacularly named the best name. Lord Vesty had probably had a fiver on her. Silver Tree. There was a woman there called Silver Tree.
Really?
Yeah, that's, My money, lads, on Silver Tree. 5:15 at Cheltenham.
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, you are a Newcastle fan. They're Hertfordshire boy, but a Newcastle fan. So why?
I know that, and there are clubs close to home there that I should potentially support. But I was 5 or 6 years old, and football was the greatest thing. Me and my brother were both big football fans, and Alan Shearer was the greatest player in the world at the time, and still in my heart, and still in many people's hearts. And he was signing for Newcastle at that time, and he was obviously doing great things at England as well, and he'd done brilliant things obviously at Blackburn. And yeah, that was it. I was like, well, who does Shearer play for? And I know that's particularly romantic, but it's just I was a little kid, and it sort of the whole this Newcastle.
But you've
sensation.
Stuck with them.
It swept me off my feet a bit, and I have stuck with them. And I you know, I find I like the drama, I like the ups and downs. Yeah. You know, very recently, we're back in a better spot, and it's like, you know, there's definitely some improvements need to be made going forward. You know, at the club and the way that it's run and all of that, but. As long as we can hold on to the wonderful Rafa Benitez and he can work his magic further, then
you need a couple of platinum sellers. You can buy the club.
Yeah, yes, please. Now you're talking.
Off of Mike Ashley.
Now we're talking. Yeah. Let's have that.
Ian, the Arsenal fan's been in touch. He said, "I've just turned the radio on and listening to James." He said, "I've got to be honest. When I first heard it, didn't know it was. I thought it was Gareth Southgate, and I thought, blimey, I never knew Gareth had so much musical ability."
That's great. That's fine. I'm sure Gareth would love that. I think depending on how he does at the World Cup, I will go on to say that was an honour.
That you were confused for Gareth. Yeah. Well, they're listening to Talk Sport, they have a right. Somebody else has said it, Matt from Swindon. It's not struck me. No one's ever said this to you before.
Is that two people who think I sound like
two
Gareth?
Two people think you sound like Gareth.
Well, congratulations, Gareth. That's great.
I think, you know, he's
they might use you during the World
during
Cup.
During the World Cup, James, we'll call Gareth. You up and tell you talk us through the game.
I can just do the pep talks down the phone.
You were telling us in the break that you played against Jack Wilshere, played against against or with him?
I played against him. He played for one of the local schools in our town, Hitchin. We both grew up in Hitchin.
So when you were like sort of 10 years old?
And he, yeah, absolutely. And I'll be as honest, and you'd all expect me to say this, it's true. He absolutely rinsed everybody on the pitch. Yeah. He was really fantastic.
Was he already at Arsenal at that stage, was he?
He was either at Luton or Arsenal.
Oh, right.
He started, okay. I've heard he started at Luton and quickly went to Arsenal. Mm. He was amazing. He was amazing.
So you still play?
Me now?
Yeah.
Once a week I try and play a seven-a-side game.
Do you have to be careful, I suppose? Sort of.
I guess so, but I don't. I love it too.
Record company are delighted, aren't they?
No, you can't live your life.
Well, I know, but, you know, you're about to go on tour, aren't you? And, you know, for a header, Andy Carroll hair.
I put a couple of those in.
The old elbow goes in.
I love it. I absolutely love playing, and I try and play as often as I can. I don't always get to play sort of once a week, and then sometimes I get to play two or three times a week, and I do just love playing.
Good. Fantastic. Well, we wish you well with the album
and the
tour, and it's lovely to meet you.
Awesome.
And
likewise.
Continued success. I tell you, we're going to play an oldie. Are you still going to play some of the oldies on tour?
Absolutely. We've already started this year touring and had a great time playing the oldies as well as the new ones.
Fantastic. Have you kind of revisited them? I mean, light of what you've done?
A little bit. Yeah. Sometimes. But sometimes it's been fun to just, more often we've been playing them as fans knew them, and as fans know them, and that creates such an atmosphere. It's great.
Excellent. I think the listeners will know this one. Good to see you, James. Thanks very much
great
for coming
to see
in.
You. Thank you.
James Bader.
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
There is a new addition to the Egyptian room at the British Museum. Have you seen this, Andy?
Yes.
It is a pair of Mo Salah's boots. A bit of a marketing ploy there by the good people at Adidas. Well,
yeah, they're not actually his boots. There would have been a lot. I think they are expecting from him a pair of match-worn boots, which would be, you know, they always look better, don't they? They've got a bit of mud and grass on them.
I don't think they'll be staying there long.
They're only there for a week.
Yeah, I think this is a little deal, a little drink, a little corporate drink in the hands of the British. They're not going to keep a pair of Mo Salah's boots in the Egyptian room, for goodness sake.
I like the club shop at the British Museum.
The museum's keeper of ancient Egypt and Sudan has said this acquisition brings the museum's Egyptian collection right up to date. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Neil. The boots tell of a modern Egyptian icon performing in the UK with a truly global impact.
Well, you can't argue with that. You
know, it's a beautiful bit of marketing, though. Well done to everybody.
It's good from
the world of three stripes. But, and I couldn't believe The Sun, when they wrote this today, the Moose has probably already started in the top 11 Egyptian players, Nigel Sphinx and all that. They know Nigel Sphinx, so well done, folks, for resisting the temptation. And indeed do that this afternoon, won't you, listeners? We asked you off the back of Dame Shirley Bassey having a Mount Snowdon railway carriage named after, and there she is, Clamberis, actually, doing the unveiling, looking a bit nonplussed. Some of the odd stuff named after celebs you've come across. Revin Redding says, I went to see Captain Sensible in a pub in Brighton. The day he had a locomotive named after him. He proudly showed me photos of the rail-based vehicle.
The rail-based vehicle.
From the Damned, of course, not Captain Sensible the plumber. Bus in Nottingham, named after Henry Blofeld. Buses, a lot of buses, obviously.
Yeah.
Our own Robin Chernoffer had her own bus in Brighton, didn't she?
She did. And if you're going to name a bus after anybody, Henry Blofeld's perfect, isn't
it? That's right, yeah. Or a pigeon, of course.
Who's going to name a pigeon?
There's a bus that runs from Clitheroe to Bolton named Alan Shearer, says Bolton 73.
It's not that bus, it's the other buses.
Yeah, his name is painted on the front. To be fair, the bus company is based in Blackburn. He says, being a Newcastle fan, it's my bus of choice.
Well,
he lets other buses go past. He'll stand there in the rain before
that's
he gets
mad
on other buses. So keep those coming. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Weird and wonderful stuff you've encountered that was named after a celebrity.
Now, busy Brits, we're all so time poor, aren't we? Time poor. Are cutting corners on personal hygiene to save time in the morning.
Really?
They're failing to wash their hands after visiting the loo, 39%. Gargling mouthwash instead of brushing their teeth, 28%. Many have a dry shampoo instead of a full wash, that's 58%.
Oh, yeah.
Who does that? And straighten clothes rather than ironing them, 8%. And
so this allows them more time to abuse people on Twitter.
But it's ridiculous, exactly. It says, in the bloke who did the survey said, in today's busy and demanding society, it's no surprise lack of time is such big anxiety for Britain. Time-saving products and services are becoming necessary for people to get through their working day and free up personal time to do exactly what you say, Paul. Spend time abusing people on Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Bit of news breaking. You see this? Gary Balance, Yorkshire and England, said he's going to be taking a bit of time away from the game, and they've asked that privacy be respected during this time? So
yeah, it's a little bit of a difficult time, really, yeah. In and out of the England team, and you know, it's been hard for him. He's always been under pressure, and that must take its toll. So yeah, well, let's wish him well and see him back on the pitch as soon as possible.
Indeed.
Do you want a quick T20 birthday spread?
So I've got to try and guess the age of this person. And how many years do you think I'll be out, roughly? Either way,
this is a tricky one. I think you could go wrong here. I think 15. I'm giving you a big spread. And it's a very, very happy
birthday. I've got to be within 15, sort of 7 and a bit either way, basically. I could be over or above. Yeah, okay.
Natalia Osipova. She is, in fact, Kenneth Wolstenholme's favourite dancer.
Why is that?
They think it's all Osipova.
Oh, okay. Right, fair enough. Brilliant. What does she do?
She's the principal dancer with the Royal Ballet of London.
32? What is she?
32.
Well, she's a dancer. She's not going to be 83, is she?
She might have been an old dancer.
Well, you are. It doesn't mean she is. See, I didn't ask for this, Tony Rumsey and Chris Perrymid. I didn't ask for, what's the other one? We've got here, Chris Tooten Commons. Come on, says Gus in Dorset. That really is it now. No more of those. If the sun could avoid Nigel Sphinx, then you can do your bit as well, gentlemen. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ to get in touch this afternoon. Alan wonders if they have half Viking, half Saxon scarves in the British Museum Club shop.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Yeah, do they? That's half Roman. That's not a bad idea.
It's a good idea.
Anyway, what do they have in the British Museum Club shop? They obviously have got a bit of football stuff. Yeah. Now, so they probably have like predators, but with laces up the leg. Be a bit like that, wouldn't it? Like Roman boots.
Yeah, it's not my favourite museum, the British Museum. I always think.
What's your favourite museum? Well, 0871.
I like the
Why don't you
Gallery.
Like the what's not in there that you feel should be then the British Museum?
It's a lot of old stuff, isn't it? A lot of sculptures.
Yeah, there is a lot of old stuff.
A lot of old stuff.
There we are. So look out for Andy on his new show on BBC4.
Yeah. New variation on a whole.
Do you like museums with a lot of new stuff in then, do you?
No, I wouldn't. I like painting rather than sculpture or old helmets, if you'll pardon the expression. You know what I mean? They do have a lot of that sort of thing, old Viking helmets.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a big fan. Don't you smash the glass and try them on? No wonder I can't go back in. I like the British Museum because I've been banned from it, clearly.
Yes, I haven't been banned there. Don't you
climb in the tomb for a little photo op? Quick, take it quickly before that bloke in the peak cap comes around again.
I tell you what I did enjoy there, the Chinese Warriors. That was a very fine exhibition they had.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they're called now. What are they called? The Terracotta Army.
Oh, yeah.
Terracotta Army.
They have a bloke playing the trumpet at the front, did they? Where do we come from? China.
Subscribe to the Hawksby and Jacobs weekly podcast today and get all the highlights of the week delivered direct to you every Thursday.
Interesting news there from Victoria about Will Smith recording the World Cup song.
Oh, wow.
Not his first football song, actually. He's had quite a few out.
Has he really?
Yeah, yeah. Get Jiggins with it, the one about the Suns
football writer.
Fresh Prince Boateng of Bellerin.
that's a bit convoluted.
Oh, it certainly is. Yeah. I'm sure you can do better.
Okay.
Not you.
I was reading something. So this right, Will Smith's done a World Cup song.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. The official World Cup song.
Official one.
Yeah, not the FA, not the England one.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that would be balmy. No, he's done a one for FIFA.
Oh, okay. I bet it's sensational.
Sensational.
Well, we should try and play a little bit later on. When's it out, have they said?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much for that information.
I'm not that interested. I just want to do those two.
Why don't you say next Wednesday? No one's going to pick you up, and who's going to look?
Did you see? You saw that volcano in Hawaii?
Yeah,
and it's got a football link. It's called Madame Pele, which is a bit of an odd thing, isn't it? And it's even more of a football link because the governor of Hawaii is a guy called David Icke.
Is that right?
Yeah, not Icke, but Icke.
Ah, David Icke.
Icke.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
There you go. They are quite, not that interesting at all, really.
That back to sport.
Yeah, marvellous. That was interesting this morning. It was funny. I was listening to the breakfast show and Alan and Dean were, they were sort of reacting. This is what, it's a sort of very modern thing. They were reacting to a headline about Trent Alexander-Arnold basically saying that he's up for Ronaldo's playing against Cristiano Ronaldo. He's not losing any sleep about facing Cristiano Ronaldo. And they were saying it's a bit disrespectful and all
well,
that.
Well, it's a tabloid staple.
He never
staple.
Said it.
It's he a tabloid
never
staple, isn't it?
Said anything about Ronaldo. So when you actually read it, there's nothing in there about Ronaldo.
No.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, no, it's you know. So you say to the player, "Are you worried about playing Cristiano Ronaldo?" So what's he going to say? I've not slept.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm petrified.
Petrified.
And I think the manager might argue that could give him a bit of an advantage. So he says, "Well, no, I'm going to do my absolute best. I know he's a fantastic player. I respect him." So that then, in tabloid parlance, that becomes he's not scared of him.
I know. He didn't even talk about him, though, actually. Yeah. Very strange. And would you say that Arnold Allen is an accountant or a rising star in the UFC?
Well, I mean, I'm guessing the way you've put that. He's not an accountant.
No, he's not.
But you should see my man, Arnold Allen.
That's a great accountant sportsman's name, isn't it, Arnold Allen?
I bet he doesn't need a credit controller, does he, when he hasn't been paid?
No.
That's true, yeah.
Very, very true. Mm. And what amazing shots. I am looking forward to seeing to speaking to the people about this cows on pitch, 180 of them.
Yeah.
Incredible. And, of course, the captain. I was wondering, actually, what formation they set up in.
Really?
Yeah.
Imagine they're quite attacking.
But back 50.
Yeah, they probably would do. I don't know what they do. They'd like to play like wing backs. I've got no idea. One of them showed some good ball control.
Yeah.
If you want to go and check out the little video that's out there, it's on quite a few of the newspapers. But the cows, they invade the pitch.
There are going to be a lot of cow footballers, aren't
there? There's one or two of the players trying to be brave, but most of them are petrified of the cows, you can tell.
Well,
They keep away.
Well, it's not surprising. A cow on the move, you know, they're quite big. You know, you don't
how far
get in
can
the
they
way.
Go? Well, 60 mile an hour?
Not that fast.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they're that fast, really. But we'll chat about that later.
Yeah.
I watched the Chelsea Flower Show yesterday.
Did you?
I do like that. It was Celebrity
Day. It's got the word Chelsea in it.
Yeah, that's the only reason I watch it.
You feel duty bound.
I do feel duty bound. I know, I enjoy it. It's a bit ridiculous.
I bet if it was the Arsenal Flower Show, you wouldn't be anywhere near it.
I wouldn't go anywhere near it.
No.
I said to the wife, why are we watching this? We haven't even got a garden. It's ridiculous. It's kind of like rubbing it in.
You can't take any of the tips, can you?
Not really.
They haven't got a window box section, have they, Chelsea?
Not really. Yeah. Or a house plant. Mm. It was Celeb Day. I don't know what
Did you get Roman's ticket? Is that what happened?
Yeah. The woman who I really like, the one who was, you know, sounds a bit like Alan Hansen. Oh, these flowers. She was not it for some reason. One that looks like she's about to fall into the hedgerows.
Yeah. And she sounds good.
The lispy bloke, sounds a bit like a gardening Harry Kane. He's good as well. Oh, it's a good
gardening fun, Harry Kane.
Gardening Harry Kane.
Congratulations to Harry Kane, of course.
Oh, of course, yeah.
The England captain. Were you ever captain? Were you ever captain of the school
team? I was never captain of anything.
I've
captained cricket teams, so that's always a good thing. A captain of a cricket team is different to, obviously, to a football captain. You have more to do. It's not an original thought. But, you know, that's true. You know, a lot of people... It's a funny thing with Twitter. I mean, somebody else said, can I be the 28th person to tell you that Harry Kane is the new England captain? Because that's what happens on your timeline. It just gets... You just see the same bit of news over and over again. But, you know, and then sort of people saying, well, does it actually matter? I mean, it's an important role, but probably slightly overstated.
It's ceremonial, really, isn't he? He's the one that can go and speak to the ref officially. He's the one who's called together with the other captain when it all goes off. But beyond that,
I suppose he can rouse the team and sort of, you know, sort out if anybody's, you know, because that's one of the big things. When people go away and, you know, there's a whole bunch and they're away for 5 or 6 weeks together, some of them, they're only young guys, some of them will have problems, some of them will be homesick, some of them will just have the normal problems that people have.
Yeah, sure.
So a captain, from that point of view, plays an important role. Mm. If he can be a sort of, you know,
can be reporting back to the management, that's very true, so, if they've spotted stuff.
And he seems like a really good bloke, so, you know, I'm sure it's a great... great appointment.
It's a great optimistic. It is.
No, the reason I just see my notes. Matt over-optimistic Scott. Honestly, he's fantastic, Matt. Well, his tweets are amazing.
Well, we are going to talk about Unai Emery very shortly.
Honestly, you think no one else need turn up next season? Arsenal have already won it. It's incredible.
Well, he comes with some pedigree. Didn't have a great time in France, particularly. But Guillaume Balague joins us shortly because he did very well at Sevilla, of course. But before that, Andy, captains in cricket. There's no kind of thing visibly marks you out as the skipper in cricket, does it? You don't wear an armband or
no.
There's nothing at all. Is it? It's interesting in football.
Yeah, that's true.
They insist that you have to be marked out as the skipper. I don't quite know why that is. But is an armband enough? You know, you just wonder if there were other ways that you could. Or if it kind of flashed the armband or a hat or
something
better than a... If you've got an armband alternatives for the skipper, because
Harry Kane wearing a top hat.
That would be good, wouldn't it? We are, you know. Yeah. England, after all, you know,
it'd be
look
quite
good.
Nice, yeah.
So, also, your life as the skipper, did you ever get, did you step up to the role where you said, no one else wants to do it, you can be the captain? And what did that entail? Ideally, not that you went out there and won 5-0, because that's just showing off. But if your short time as a skipper in any sport went ever so slightly pear-shaped, tell us about how you got the job. And what went wrong this afternoon? So as we salute Harry Kane as he gets the armband or the hat, tell us this afternoon what it was like when you stepped up to captain the team in any sport. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ or 08717223344. We didn't ask for this Paul on the Wirral. I know it's not Paul on the Wirral. We didn't ask for this Gareth. We didn't ask for Franny Heffers. We didn't ask for any cow related footballers. What makes you think we'd be that shallow?
I like
you've
that,
already man. Come up with a couple of Andy, haven't you?
Well, probably.
Thereby
yeah.
proving the point.
I'm not going to do them.
No, go on. No, don't get upset about it.
Well,
what are they?
Carlos Dunga. There you go.
That's not bad, yeah.
I'll take that one.
Anything else?
No, because the others are not good enough. They're not of the sufficient quality. I wasn't happy with them.
Really?
Yeah. You know, okay. You can imagine how bad they are.
God, wow. If you're not doing them, they must.
If I'm not doing them, they must
stink
be.
Stink like Dunga.
Exactly.
08717223344 to get in touch. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J.
I don't know what I wanted to ask.
Oh, yeah,
you.
Go on.
Because you've been at Wembley all season.
Yeah.
One thing we noticed on Saturday, somebody wrote a letter to the Times today talking about there was a thing about how you could filter out commentators, and this bloke said, well, can you filter out the loud, intrusive background music? And this isn't an old thing, because my son agreed with me, and he's only in his 30s, and there were other people, young people around. The music that they play at Wembley, the loudness of it.
Really?
It's so atmosphere-killing. I don't get it. I don't get... Who
is
thinks,
this, what, around the game, before the match?
Before the game. It's before the game and also at half-time when the players came back on the pitch.
Mm.
It's so ear-splittingly loud and it's unpleasant. You think, what is it? Who thinks that's a good idea?
I've not really noticed it. I've got to be honest.
I had a feeling
right next to a speaker.
No, I had a feeling they wouldn't do it for the Spurs games. I felt it was like an FA Wembley sort of package thing.
Party atmosphere.
Oh, dear.
No, they've not done it for the... not that I can particularly remember. They used to turn the speakers right up if we lost badly to drown out the booing.
Really?
In the old days at the lake.
Yeah.
Old Pete and whoever's on the decks would whack it right up there, play a bit of AC/DC so you couldn't hear the booing.
A lot of people like to hear the crowd cheering, and then, you know, so it's a strange thing, but it's something they do, but it doesn't add to the Wembley experience.
Bob and Arbroath isn't helping with Aberdeen Angus Gunn and Jersey Dudek. We didn't ask for these, Bob. Didn't ask for them. Bovine Zenden, says Rico. Didn't ask for them, mate. Patrick Berger, says Phil. Phil, we didn't ask.
Subscribe to the Hawksby and Jacobs weekly podcast today and get all the highlights of the week delivered direct to you every Thursday.
Well, Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sports, and shocking story here from Guernsey. A game of football going on, and 180 cows. Basically, it just appeared on the pitch. That's a sizeable number, isn't it? Three or four would be quite scary.
Groundsman was pleased. They didn't have to cut the grass the week after.
Probably not. No, that's very true. So let's find out more about it. Nick Lee Morgan is the coach of Thrive Physiotherapy FC. They were playing in the match. Good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon.
So, I described it, but just talk us through it. What point of the game you at when you were invaded?
Well, it was about 3 minutes into the second half. We were leading 2-1. And I heard a sort of tremendous commotion from behind one of the goals. And I turned to see what it was, and all I can describe it as was a tsunami of cows trotting onto the pitch.
It's an incredible...
Having broken out of the adjacent field. I mean, it wasn't like one or two that had gone AWOL. It was, so the farmer told us, it was 180.
Right.
And there were three very stressed farmers trying to stop them invading the pitch. But three farmers versus 180 500-pound animals.
Yeah.
There's only ever going to be one winner. So really there's nothing they could do to stop them. And they just invaded the pitch, wandered around, went onto the pitch that we were playing on, went onto the training pitch nearby, ate the hedge. And quite a few of them left deposits all over the pitch.
Nice. Do you know what spooked them? What made them sort of suddenly bolt for your pitch?
We don't know, and it's not top of our list of priorities to find out. But I think it's a case of when one breaks free, they all just follow. So they thought we'll go on a little 25-minute holiday. So, you know, 180 of them came onto the pitch.
How did they get in? Was the fence broken? Well, or something?
No. It's the pitch that we play on has a couple of very large fields adjacent to it, and they're only about 40 yards from the pitch. So, really, I'm surprised it hasn't happened before, to be honest, because at any time, if they wanted to just sort of burst through the hedge, it's not very thick hedge, so they can get through very easily. So I'm surprised it hasn't happened more often. But, you know, I think one just decided, no, I fancy going on a little wander, and they all just followed.
Most of them did seem fairly disinterested in the game, but there was one that came over and just a little bit of ball control with the end of its nose, which I thought was quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, given that was fourth tier of Guernsey football, probably one or two of them were better than some of the players actually on the pitch. But we've no plans to sign them.
So, did you get underway again, or did you just give it up?
No, about 5 minutes into it, I mean, you know, they were just all over the pitch, and it was just clear that there was no way we could carry on. So we just shook hands and said, okay, we'll call it a draw. The game didn't count for anything. It was really the end of the season. And we decided at that point, well, we've got to try and help the farmers, because there's only three of them, and it's sort of one farmer for every 60 cows. So we just picked up corner flags, bibs, bits of hedge, anything we could get our hands on to try and shepherd these animals back to where they came from. And it probably took, when they first appeared on the pitch, it probably took pushing 25 minutes before we could actually get them all back into back to their field. So it was, but everybody thought it was absolutely hilarious. So there was no great damage done. Unfortunately, there was a game the next night. This was last Thursday. There was a game next night, and the poor groundsman had to do quite a lot of work preparing the pitch. Put it that way. I think there weren't many sliding challenges going in.
Don't blame them. They are. I mean, you've got to be careful with cows. There's a number of cow deaths in this country every year. You know, they can charge, and of course, as you discovered close up, they're pretty big. So it was good.
They look fairly docile.
They do look quite fairly good humoured. They're kind of just eaten.
I have to say it was interesting reaction from some of our players, because some of them scarpered, and some of the braver ones sort of stood their ground and tried to shepherd them away. But yeah, they are, when you get up close, they are pretty big, and they can also go very, very fast, certainly faster than most of our players. I did go eye to eye with one, and I have to confess I sort of backed off a little bit, because he or she wasn't going anywhere. And we did all check very carefully underneath to make sure there were no balls.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, I think everybody would have scarpered. And there probably would have been more deposits on the pitch as well.
Wow. Well, I'd say 180 cows. One cow on a pitch would normally, you know, stop the game.
Well, it would cause a bit of...
I mean, you know,
yeah.
180, you're going to abandon it, aren't you? I think that makes much more sense. And Nick, thanks for talking us through it.
All right, my pleasure.
There we are. Nick Lee Morgan, their coach of Thrive Physiotherapy. FC. Have they got their own physio, I wonder? So if someone gets injured, you must come on and say, he'll tell you exactly what it is that he's done, and then tell you you're doing it wrong when you try and treat him. Can't be a lot of fun.
That can't be, really.
Under a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
Anyway, you're sending some very interesting stuff named after celebrities. After Dame Shirley Bassey had one of the Snowden, what do you call them?
Trains
that take you up
cable
Snowden.
Yeah, that'll do.
Named after her. I got a little Flybe propeller plane a few years back. It says J. From Birmingham to Newquay, and it was called Matt Letissier.
Yeah.
There we are. What a great honour for him. And there's an 110 bus which goes between Wakefield and Leeds, named after Jonathan Ross. Who's from Leightonstone.
That's right.
How does that work? Stephen Bancroft. Yeah. Thank you very much. Keep them coming.
Listen to the Hawksby and Jacobs Show live every Monday to Friday afternoon from 1. Broadcasting across the UK on DAB Digital Radio. Online at TalkSport.com or via the TalkSport app.
Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. It's not a problem getting through to to the guest we were hoping to chat to about the World Cup, so we'll do that later. Mm. But in the meantime, Andy, you read me a little story the other day from the papers. You wanted to know more.
It's a classic Johnny Nash.
More questions than answers.
Here's the story. A football fan walked 40 miles to a Wembley Cup final but missed the game. Andrew Booth trekked, I don't even know what that is, from Rochester, Kent, for the Sunday's FA Trophy clash, but he arrived too late to pick up his ticket and had to watch Brackley beat Bromley on penalties in a pub. He said it all went a bit wrong.
Well, we want to know more. Why did he walk? Why did he get there late? Why couldn't he just go in late?
It never even happened.
Now, let's find out. Andrew Booth joins us now. Andrew, good afternoon.
Hello there. All right. Yeah.
So that's number one then. So why didn't you get a train?
Right, basically, I run a pub in Rochester called the Granville Arms. And one of the customers, I was speaking to one of the customers, and we were doing quite well in the FA Trophy. I'm a Bromley supporter.
Right.
And I sort of drunkenly said, look, if we get in the final, I'll walk to Wembley. And a bet's a bet, and we did get in the final. No choice.
Oh, dear.
So okay. How long should it have taken? You'd obviously looked on Google Maps or something.
It gave it us 13 and a half, 14 hours. 40 miles, exactly.
Right. Okay.
But also, I'm in training for a charity event for the Army Benevolent Fund in a couple of weeks, of a 54-mile walk. So it was all good training.
Okay, so you're in good shape, and so you would have been confident of making it in time. So what happened?
Right, well, I was walking with my partner, Julia. Mm-hmm. Now, we were right by Welling FC, was halfway, 20 miles.
Yeah.
Still feeling good, but within the next sort of few miles, her footwear fell apart.
Right.
Really bad blisters.
So
by the time we got to sort of near Elephant and Castle, she'd slowed down and had to stop.
Hmm.
So I got her to the train station, but that sort of wasted a bit of my time. So I was a bit behind at that point.
Right.
So I've got 12 miles to go from Elephant and Castle, if I remember rightly. I got to north of Hyde Park,
mm-hmm.
following the map on the phone. Then my phone battery died.
Oh.
So, in the meantime, she's got the train up to Wembley, met up with my daughter and my daughter's boyfriend, who are already there.
Yeah.
And they just basically made the decision that if I wasn't there till 3:45, which is half an hour to go, they were just going to go in without me.
Right.
And that's what they did. And I got there at 3:50, 5 minutes after them.
So they had nowhere to leave your ticket.
Of course, you couldn't phone them to tell them to come down and pass the ticket.
Tell them where I was or, leave it under the car or, leave it on the car tyre or something. But, yeah.
So the missus slows you up with her shoddy footwear, then gets to see the game and leaves you outside.
Yeah, they all got to see it and I didn't, yeah.
That's so. Is she a Bromley fan or not?
So, yeah, no, I was the only proper Bromley fan out of the four as well, so gutted, yeah.
So what did you do for the rest of the game? You just went to the pub and watched it?
I went over, they've got a Wetherspoons there, and I just went online on my tablet, which I luckily had in my rucksack, and I watched it on the BT Sport app.
How did you meet them afterwards, because you still didn't have a phone?
No, because she had texted me earlier in the journey to say where the car was.
Right.
So I knew where they'd be after the game. Walking back.
So you didn't even watch it in a sort of pub with other, you sat there on your iPad or whatever, on your laptop, watching it?
Yeah, in a pretty much empty pub because everyone was in Wembley.
That's bleak, isn't it?
And of course, the game went to extra time and penalties. And it didn't work out for you, did it? Brackley won.
Well, I suppose, because Brackley won, I'm not too bad, not too sad I missed it, I suppose.
Wow. Well, it all makes sense now. This is so good that, you read a little story like that where there's a lot of questions.
Yeah. And usually it turns out that when we do this, that you were
I'm
never
not
there.
I'm a Bromley fan. I never
you
went.
You don't support Bromley. Yeah. You never walked anywhere in your life.
Yes.
It turns out to be
it's
true.
It's great. It's all predominantly true, which is excellent. So look, that's a sad story, Andrew. Very, very unlucky. But maybe there'll be another time. Bromley, go back next year.
Well, like I say, and if it can generate any interest in sponsorship for our team, we've got a team of six from the pub doing this cater and yomp up in Scotland on June the 9th. So it's 54 miles in 24 hours.
Wow.
But if anyone wants to donate, they just go to the Army Benevolent Fund page, press donate and look for our team. It's called the Lost Boys.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
Good luck
with
it.
Very good luck with that.
Is best luck. And is the wife doing that walk as well or not?
Yes.
She is? Okay, new pair...
New shoes by then.
New pair of walking shoes?
Fantastic. Good man.
I can still see you walking the last leg with a dead phone battery while she's already in the pub having a pint. I can see that.
Well, yeah, there we go. I got there just for the sake of 5 minutes.
Oh, well.
No,
good stuff, Andrew. Thanks very much
Thanks,
for joining
Andrew.
Us. All the best.
Oh, it's nice to talk to you.
There we are, Andrew Booth there. Yes, so there it was. That's why he missed the start of the game. What a sad story.
It is sad, actually.
Yeah. Couldn't she have done the old line, said, look, you leave me. Yeah. You know, you go on ahead without me.
Why? Also, if you're going to set off in that way, I know they probably thought about this.
Work a bit of fat into it.
Why not give have the ticket on you? You know, it's why not set out with the ticket in your pocket?
Too late now, he's gone. See, you've created another Johnny Nash question.
Hawksby and Jacobs Weekly from Talk Sport.
So there we are. And as promised...
What a week it was.
Indeed, what a week it was. And as promised, we've got a little bit of added value. It's F.S. Truman, the legendary Yorkshire and England bowler, and a song, we don't know when he brought it out, but it's we're going to play it now. And well,
I think it was the 1962 Yorkshire entry for Eurovision.
I think it's got a bit of a Eurovision feel. Anyway, here it is. It simply isn't cricket.
I've encountered many characters from Headingley to Low.
Now,
with many I've got on with others I've crossed swords. Not everyone agrees with you or with the way you are.
That's the reason.
He hadn't plugged his headphones in. So, should we start again then? Let's start again.
What, the whole thing?
No, just not the whole thing, the song. Just the song, because you could... Andy hadn't plugged his headphones
in. Well, it's all right, just start the song again and then cut it together.
I think we might keep all this in, but there we are. That was my thinking.
Oh, yeah.
As I tried there, but you really didn't pick up on that, did you? As I was talking to them like I was talking to the audience.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It doesn't matter. I thought we might keep it in as a bit of
content.
Oh,
keep all of this in.
Oh, yeah, no, get rid of this.
No.
I've said... deliberately. No, I do want to get it because that's eggy. Badly eggy. Okay. Just play the song again.
They're going to leave it in. Here he is.
Eventually.
I've encountered many characters from Headingley to Low. With many I've got on with others I've crossed swords.
He's not even attempting to keep in time with the music.
Not singing,
this is
talking.
What they'll utter if they catch you at the bar. Though it simply isn't cricket, Fred, it simply isn't done. Use expletives when you're vexed or when they score a run. Stiff upper lip, old boy, you know you're on a sticky wicket. To misbehave the way you do, it simply isn't cricket.
Very old school, isn't he? He did have a thing about authority and you know, gentlemen
well,
and players.
He didn't like posh people, so he didn't. I think that's why he's doing it in a posh voice.
Yeah, this is posh voice.
There have been
his phone voice.
When I have been on tour.
Yeah.
The food has not agreed with me and my stomach's been right sore. What's the seat of the game? They'll ask you back the answer come. Tomorrow you can take it, we'll be going for the runs.
Hey everybody!
Where's the bit where he knocks the bloke out and he had to be carried off?
Don't you think we should get Goffin to re-release this? That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
You've got great plans for Goffin. You want him to do indoor league.
I do want him to do indoor. I basically want him to become Fred. And we'll cash in on it. We'll get him a big thick cardi and a pipe.
It's a good idea.
Should we leave that there?
Oh, I could listen to this all night.
Key change. Oh,
here we go.
Key change. Another time it He's still talking, though, despite the key change.
Pompous
arse. Oh, that's
a
bit
much. Bump.
Well, I need a fair size hammer lad to drive a big nail on. Oh, it simply isn't cricket to use vulgarity.
You think he's still smoking his pipe when he's recording this?
You know, Yorkshire and now are a separate football nation.
Yeah.
Maybe this could be their national anthem. That simply isn't cricket.
Yeah, it could be, couldn't it? Yeah, it's a great idea.
We get the idea with that, basically. Fred Truman.
MacArthur Park. It was about 25 minutes long.
Got a guitar solo, like Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird, about a 20-minute guitar solo. Yeah. So there we are. That was Fred Truman.
That was
now and again, as part of this, we might give you a bit of added value, an incentive to download us.
Or we'll play that again next week. See if you bother
and
to come
at it from
end.
A different angle. We'll just reimagine it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for downloading us. There'll be another one next week. And, of course, don't forget to tune in between 1 and 4, Monday to Friday on TalkSport.
This man was being so blasé into the bargain that I was really furious. And I'm afraid I hit him in the mouth and he had to be carried off.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.